Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about the newest travel tips. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Here's a tip for you. Space travel has finally arrived. There's been a lot of talk about this, but it's finally here. Our guest returning is Amy Farley, who is the trip doctor for Travel and Leisure magazine. It's always such a pleasure to have her on the show. I learn so much every time. And of course, in this hour, we open the phones to you. We invite you to call in, ask questions, talk about experiences that you've had traveling that you might like to repeat or not repeat. So we'll get to the phones in just a bit. Amy, here, what's going on with space travel?
What's going on with space travel? Well, it's become much more affordable. It used to be that you had to have a couple million dollars to get into space, but now you only need $250,000. Because Richard Branson is launching Virgin Galactic, which is offering people the chance to go into suborbital space for a few minutes and have sort of an astronaut-like experience.
And are people signing up, do you know?
People are signing up, actually. You know, it's obviously a dream for a lot of people. It's a lot of money, $250,000. But they package it with an entire experience where you go to the spaceport out in New Mexico. You train for suborbital space. You get to meet space pioneers and sort of be part of this really innovative program, which is, at its heart, it's not just about, you know, these suborbital flights, but it's really trying to figure out a more affordable way of getting people into space since NASA has shut down its space program. It's turned to the private sector, so this is part of that push. So it's a very interesting experience, obviously not for everyone, but I will say there are special travel advisors, travel agents that now can book your suborbital flights with Virgin Galactic.
So has the first one gone up?
The first one has not gone up yet. They keep sort of putting it off. Obviously, there's a lot of testing and a lot of safety concerns involved with this. But it's supposed to sometime this year, so keep your eyes peeled.
Makes me wonder if you need shots of some kind.
I'm not sure what kind of vaccines are necessary. But certainly some training, because you have to be able to withstand physically everything that's going to happen to your body when you go into space that quickly.
Okay. I'm interested in the most recent issue of Travel and Leisure because you do have a long list of super agents, travel agents. Before we get to some detailed tips, you're making the case that it can be very important to use a travel agent, that there's a real benefit to this.
There absolutely is. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about travel agents and why you should use them. Obviously, the rise of internet booking has made it so that you don't need to use a travel agent, or we call them travel advisor, for a lot of trips. I mean, if you're just going from A to B and it's a simple flight and a hotel, you can certainly do that on your own, and there's a lot of resources that you can use. And it can be fun to create that. But if you're working on a more complicated itinerary or going to parts of the world that you're not familiar with and you really want to get an experience that is authentic and distinctive and also seamless, then a travel advisor can really pay off. And it's not just in creating a better itinerary for you, and it's not just the insider access that they can offer, but also they can literally get you a free upgrade to a room. They can get you credit that you can spend at the restaurant at a resort. So they can actually save you money. And because often they are working off of a commission from the hotels that they are booking you into, you aren't actually paying them extra to get that return on your investment.
The idea, though, I guess, is to find an agent you trust who's not just pushing forward the hotel that's paying them.
Exactly. I mean, as with any industry, you know, there are people that are better than others. And so we, in our September issue, have a list of travel advisors that we've personally vetted that really go above and beyond to make sure that they are advocating on behalf of their clients. I mean, ultimately, travel advisors will make money off of booking a single trip, but they want return clients, and they want, and they get most of their, I mean, our list notwithstanding, they get most of their clients by word of mouth. So if they're just shilling on behalf of a hotel, that's obviously not going to make a great experience for a traveler. So that's not to their advantage. Mm-hmm. So they really are working on behalf of the traveler more than they are on the travel companies that they may get commissions from.
And I gather you can use these agents if something goes wrong on the trip.
That's key. They will have your back if your flight is delayed or canceled, or if there are any sort of snafus, unintended sort of problems along the way. They're the ones that will sort it out for you. And as we saw this past winter, when there were tons of huge storms that rolled through the country and, you know, created days-long snarls at airports, that's when travel advisors came in handy, because, you know, it took a long time to get yourself rebooked or to sort of figure out how to wade through all of the difficulties with your travel insurance to get yourself reimbursed if you had to cancel your trip. That's where a travel advisor will step in and do that on your behalf. So that can save you a lot of money and heartache.
Amy Farley, the trip doctor for Travel and Leisure magazine. I always read her stuff in the magazine. That's why we've asked her to come back on the show many, many times. You mentioned travel insurance. Do you think it's important to get it year-round? Wintertime, you can understand some people will say, I have to get it. But what about year-round?
I think if you have put more money down for your trip or are spending more money on your trip than you care to lose, then I think travel insurance is absolutely worth it. It doesn't have to cost all that much. And you never know what's going to happen. You know, winter storms will cause huge delays at airports that can, you know, be days long. But summer storms are actually worse in some ways because they are less predictable. You know, you see a winter storm coming on the radar, and you know what's about to happen. And so airlines will preemptively you know, let you rebook flights after the storm has passed through. But summer storms can come really quickly and really snarl up an airport. And, you know, if you're doing a quick winter getaway or a quick weekend getaway or something like that, that could ruin your entire trip if you can't get out for 24, 36 hours. So year-round, it's advisable to look into travel insurance. And then you never know, there are bigger situations. There's another volcano in Iceland that is threatening to spew ash into the airspace over Iceland and maybe even Northern Europe, and that's happening right now. And when this happened back in 2010, people were literally stranded in Europe for over a week trying to get back because the airspace was just totally closed and it was so difficult to get flights out. And in a situation like that, travel insurance can really save you a lot of money.
How far ahead do you have to make a plan? Let's say that people say, you know, we've had experiences this summer that we really loved, or we're sorry we didn't get to go here. Maybe people have been saving, and it's next summer that they're going to do something special. When do you start talking to hotels looking for deals?
Is a year ahead
or 9 months? Let's say, is 9 months ahead too long?
It really depends on the kind of trip you're looking for. You know, if you want to go, say, river cruising in Europe over the summer, which has become incredibly popular, so popular that river cruise lines have launched in the past few months literally dozens of new ships on European rivers. However, they're still booking up the prime cabins over a year in advance. So there are certain really popular things, like if you wanted to go to Greece in August or something like that you should really start planning as far early as possible. However, after the economy crashed in 2008-2009, the booking window for trips really decreased. So people are much more last-minute travelers than we were, you know, a decade ago. So there are a lot of experiences that you can book. A lot of hotels are used to getting last-minute bookings. But for very popular experiences and popular destinations, you should absolutely be thinking about it 9 months in advance. For airfare, it can be tricky. It depends on where you go. Sometimes looking too far ahead can mean that you're not getting the best price on airfares, because airlines often wait to release the more affordable seats closer to the date of departure. So for Europe, for airfares, I would advise looking about 6 months in advance. If you look 9 months, you probably actually won't get the best fare.
I've never thought of this before, but we were discussing the other day how the euro is up and then down against the dollar, and the dollar's up and then it's down.
Right.
And I had a couple of friends who just they travel a lot. They kept checking this app on their phones, and they would say, oh, here's the ratio now. I wonder if you can plan a trip. Let's say you're retired. You have all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. If you can plan a trip based on what you're hearing about what the euro's going to be, what the dollar's going to be.
You absolutely can, although I would say in general you're not going to get great value with the euro. And so if you're interested in sort of a more affordable European experience, then looking outside the eurozone is definitely worth your while. I mean, if you go to a place like Hungary, your dollar will go a lot further, or Poland a lot further than it will in other places of Europe. So in general, the following the fluctuations of the dollar and the euro can be helpful, but on the other hand, it might just be advisable to go outside the eurozone.
Here's our phone number. If you have had some kind of fluky experience traveling or some kind of disappointment, of course you're invited to call in. You might be saying, I want everybody to avoid this situation. Here's a mistake I made. Or you might say to Amy Farley, the trip doctor for Travel and Leisure magazine, how can I avoid something like this happening again? What is the best strategy for me if I want to go here or there? You want to talk about booking. Next, we're going to talk about social media tips for travel. These are quite fascinating. This is how to score free perks, according to Amy and Travel and Leisure magazine. Our phone number is 203-776-9677. The easy way to remember, 203-776-WNPR. Your phone calls are welcome. Amy, let's talk about scoring free perks using social media.
Social media has basically become free marketing for a lot of travel companies. So they really love it if you engage with them on social media, and they offer incentive now for you to do that. So if you sort of are an active, even if you don't have a huge following on social media, but if you demonstrate your enthusiasm on social media, on Twitter or Facebook, but in particular Twitter, for a hotel or a travel brand, you may get some rewards from the hotel. We've seen really fun examples of, you know, somebody who was feeling sick at a Kimpton hotel and tweeted something about how they were coming down with a cold, and the hotel sent up a bowl of chicken noodle soup to their room. But other properties may just surprise you when you get into your room with, you know, an amenity or something that you've said that you like. There, I know one hotel, somebody had tweeted that they really liked their bathroom amenities, and they got home and there was a bathroom amenity kit waiting for them in the mail.
Well, talk about loyalty, building loyalty. There's the way to do it.
Exactly.
Amy, stay right where you are. We're interested in the phone calls coming in. We want to talk with you about the newest tips on travel, how social media can be used to improve your trip and experience. We're going to take a quick break and then come right back. Find what we talk about on the show online anytime at WNPR.org. You'll find information about our trip doctor, Amy Farley of Travel and Leisure magazine, back with us right now at our site. You can see delicious recipes that are easy for dinner, value wines, cocktails, much more. All you have to do is go to foodschmooze.org for that, or the Faith Middleton Show. All right, Amy, let's come back to this tip that you talk about. If you want freebies to come to you when you travel, you say there's something called a clout score.
The CLOUD score is basically a metric that's used to see how much influence you have on Twitter. So it checks out how many followers you have, how often you're engaging with people in conversations over Twitter. And, you know, on, as I said, you don't need to be a huge social media person to reap the benefits of using social media. However, if you have a huge following on Twitter or Instagram and a high CLOUD score, travel companies are courting people like that in particular. So we know some airlines that offer you free access to their lounges if you have a really high CLOUD score, say, or others that will sort of try to get you into their hotels because you have a big Instagram following and they know that you'll show off pictures of their hotel in your Instagram feed.
How do you take advantage of that?
Well, first you have to build up the huge following and basically be what they call a social media influencer. It is difficult to become one of those people, but you just start by broadcasting your travels over social media and using hashtags, conversing over social media with travel companies that you like, and it's a way to sort of build up your reputation in the social media space and have travel companies get to know you. But as I said, you don't even need to develop a huge following to reap some benefits. It really can be as simple as just saying, before you leave for a hotel, sending out a tweet that says, I'm going to X hotel, you know, tag their Twitter handle and say, I'm really excited. I'm celebrating my anniversary. If you are celebrating your anniversary, I don't encourage fibbing. But, you know, if you do something like that, you may find a special treat for you waiting at the hotel. And especially there's the sort of generosity of after you've had a great experience to send that message out over social media.
And as you point out, you can go to clout.com, K-L-O-U-T, .com to see about your score. Yeah. All right. John has called 203-776-WNPR. Welcome to the show, John. Go ahead.
Faith?
Yes.
I have a red alert for your listeners. I have a good friend that happened this summer and a sister-in-law that last year the same thing happened. They were literally stepping on the plane going to Italy. And their passport was valid, but it only had a couple of months to go. And unless your passport had, in their case, I believe 6 months, they were literally yanked from the line as they were stepping on bags already checked in and everything. So just a red alert, make sure whatever country you're going to or even touching down in, that you've met their minimum requirement for a passport.
Really? John, I've never heard of this before. Amy, have you?
Yes, and that is a great tip, John. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, because you know, you can stay in a country for a certain amount of time, and the country wants to make sure that if they let you in, you know, your passport is going to be valid that entire time. So if your passport is not valid, you know, you should look to renew your passport well before the expiration date of your passport, A, because it takes a while to process the passport application, but B, because countries where you're visiting, they may not let you in if you don't have enough time left on your passport. You should also check to make sure that you have enough empty pages in your passport. There are some countries like Botswana, for example, that like to see four empty pages or two adjacent empty pages in your passport. And if you don't have that, they won't let you through. So definitely just having a passport in hand is not enough.
Wow. Okay, John, thank you so much for that tip. Amy, also to you. Sandra, Faith Middleton and the gang, welcome to our show on Travel Tips with Amy Farley. Go ahead.
Hi. Oh, hi. Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
And I am a first-time caller.
Great.
I have a unique, I think not unique, but my situation is that I've got some mobility issues. And I found a wonderful travel agent, easyaccesstravel.com, that is owned by a woman who is herself disabled. And I just had no idea how I'd get to Alaska and other travel that I've done, that involves stairs and long walking. And she was just spectacular. And I think these niche travel agents, that really understand disabilities, are really important assets for those of us that are older and that have some concerns about how we're going to be able to take these trips. They make all the difference in the world. She found a resort that I could live with for my family to celebrate my 70th birthday last year. And we wanted a resort in somewhere in the Caribbean or thereabouts. And she spent God knows how many hours trying to sort it out and found this one in Cancun. It's very hard when you get out of the United States. And you don't have the Americans with Disabilities Act.
And but that was that called, Sandra, so sorry to interrupt. I don't want to lose this opportunity. That was called Easy Access, did you say?
EasyAccessTravel.com.
Okay, we'll post that at our site.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at it as well, Sandra. That's terrific.
Another great call.
Because it's true, there's such a wide range. You know, there are strong regulations here in the States, but once you head abroad, the accessibility at resorts can really vary widely. So to have somebody that's an expert in that kind of travel is extraordinary. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, Sandra.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now to get faster customer service, you might be wanting to find out about, you know, what's going on with a flight. You might be in a hotel room where somebody's next door is partying. Who knows what might be happening? What's the best way to get customer service more quickly?
Well, again, social media has really become a great resource. It's not the only resource. Obviously, you can call the front desk or try the 800 numbers. But if you are not getting through, know that now travel companies basically have 24-hour staff that are manning their social media channels and are there to answer customer service concerns. So we've seen everything from airlines stepping in to try to help people whose flights have been canceled or delayed. And that's not to say you'll always get a very detailed level of service from them, because obviously there's only so much that can be done over Twitter. But if you do have questions right away, an airline can help address them. Sometimes if you can't get through to somebody at the front desk and you tweet directly to a hotel saying, you know, this room is very loud, what can be done, they'll get back to you quickly, because frankly it's a public forum and they don't want to have their dirty laundry aired in public, basically.
Right. We're going to talk next about unlocking these exclusive deals. They seem exclusive to everybody else. So we're going to talk about that, thanks to Amy Farley, the trip doctor for Travel and Leisure magazine, back with us again. Laura has just called our number, 203-776-WNPR. We welcome your calls, too. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My son is having a destination wedding next June in Cancun, and your comment before that some places for getting the best airfare 9 months ahead or sooner or later, you know, he is going through a travel agent, and they told us about a couple of weeks ago that the airfare from the Hartford area was going to be about $700 or $800, and I couldn't believe it. So I went online and looked up, and I saw like $400. So I'm not quite sure when the best time would be, or do I really even believe this travel agent?
Well, I would say that $400 from Hartford to Cancun sounds like a pretty good fare, so I would definitely jump on that.
Okay.
And, you know, if you find a fare that's better than what your travel advisor is finding, then definitely tell them, let them know. You know, everybody has slightly different software that they're working through. So there may be that you were finding some fares that weren't showing up on theirs, but you should definitely nudge them about it. But I would say $400 sounds like a great deal.
All right. Yeah. Good luck, Laura.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling 203-776-WNPR. About unlocking exclusive deals, Amy, the hotels, you were talking about us as travelers using social media to tweet about our experiences. But the hotels are also using social media to reach us, and they're offering these amazing deals.
Absolutely. They, you know, they're sort of in competition for bookings. You know, the hotels want you to book directly through them. They don't want you to go through the online travel agencies like Hotels.com or, you know, Orbitz or Expedia. So they're incentivizing people to go directly to the hotel's website by offering up exclusive deals, and often they're sending them up on social media. So if you know that you like a hotel, or follow them on Twitter or like them on Facebook, and you'll often find sort of the deepest discounts showing up on these social media channels. And likewise, you know, the online travel agencies like Orbitz and Expedia are also offering up exclusive deals over their social media handles. So if you're really interested in finding deals, this is a rich area to explore.
Now, why don't the hotels want you to use things like Travelocity or Orbitz?
Because they are either paying a commission basically to the online travel agencies, so they would much rather have you come directly to them, and then they don't have to lose the commission.
Okay. And what about Foursquare? This is a tip from Travel and Leisure. What is Foursquare?
Foursquare has changed recently. Uh-huh. It was a service where you can basically visit different places and check in on them. But Foursquare has actually since relaunched since we wrote this, so it operates slightly differently. But it is basically sort of a checking in service that rewards people the more they check in to different places.
Okay. Marianne, Faith Middleton with Amy Farley, the trip doctor at Travel and Leisure Magazine. Go ahead, Marianne.
Yes, thank you, Faith, and thank you, Doctor. I'm wondering if there are any specialized trip advisors who know of any entrepreneurial airlines that can take care of passengers with dogs rather than putting them in the belly of the plane with the luggage.
You know, there was an airline that I think tried to launch a few years ago called Pet Air, and you might look it up. To be honest, I'm not sure if that ever really got off the ground, no pun intended. But it's true, a lot more people are actually flying with pets. Some airlines have slightly more generous pet policies than others. To be honest, I don't know of them off the top of my head, but that is a great question for the trip doctor. You may see this show up in one of my future columns. I may address this question.
That's good.
Thank you very much.
The callers are you're just spectacular today, raising all these issues.
Yes.
There's this early access to a concierge at a particular hotel, and this is where the social media comes in again.
Well, it's really fun. I think hotels recognize that there is sort of a rising generation of travelers who are less comfortable or familiar with sort of face-to-face interactions. So they offer you different ways of accessing the concierge. One of the most interesting things we saw was Four Seasons Hotels, which uses this social media channel called Pinterest, which basically allows people to pull photographs of things that they like and sort of add a little text with the photograph. And so you can create what's called a Pinterest board, which is basically an inspiration board of things you would like to do while in a destination, while you're staying at a Four Seasons hotel. And you can allow the concierge at that property to sort of look at the Pinterest board and offer you tips and advice and bring in his or her own photos of, you know, restaurants or sites that you should see while you're in a place. And what you have at the end of it, which is before you even leave on your trip, is sort of this really beautiful photograph-driven kind of itinerary for yourself for a destination. So social media is a very interesting way to do trip planning in advance. You can do that. Sometimes it's just send a tweet right to the concierge, such as Hyatt. Hyatt has a Twitter handle called @HyattConcierge, and you can tweet them any question you have about a destination you're going to, and they will get back to you really quickly.
Thank you. Teresa, you called 203-776-WNPR. Go ahead, Teresa.
Hi, I'm calling because this year, for the first time, we've signed up with the JetBlue American Express card, and I've never used any of these promotional, you know, accumulate your car, you know, points and stuff. And I didn't know if you had any tips on the best way to use it. We're looking to fly at Christmas.
To be honest, I'm not that familiar with the JetBlue American Express card and how that works. I will say in general that these airline branded credit cards are great, especially for the what we call the legacy domestic carriers, which is not JetBlue, but is Delta, American Airlines, U.S. Airlines, which will soon be American Airlines, and United. But these airline branded credit cards are great because they not only give you a lot of miles as sign-up bonuses and allow you to accumulate miles as you spend on these cards, but also increasingly they are able to give you free checked bags, priority access on the plane, sometimes lounge access depending on the annual fee that you're willing to pay. And airline have been changing their frequent flyer programs so that it is harder to earn elite status and thus harder to get the benefits like the free checked bag and the priority boarding and stuff like that. So often if you can't get elite status with an airline, you can sort of approximate it by getting the right co-branded credit card. So unfortunately, I can't tell you the details about the JetBlue card, but I can say that if you know you fly JetBlue a lot, then it is very smart to get a credit card like this.
Yeah, thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. And on the other side of this break we're going to take here, I want to talk about, since you mentioned JetBlue, Amy Farley, they've got this new prime seating, and these seats, if you're doing a long trip, you can lie down in them. So this is something. This is different for JetBlue.
Absolutely.
So stay with us, Amy. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to us. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Cheers to our talented team, producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. Special thanks to Marion Roy, and especially to the trip doctor Amy Farley of Travel and Leisure Magazine, back on the show with us, giving us terrific travel tips. We thank you for your calls to 203-776-WNPR. As a result of those calls, you're teaching lots and lots of other listeners how to avoid mistakes, how to take advantage of certain deals, raising topics that we hadn't thought of. So we really appreciate it. Judith, go ahead. Hi, Judith, go ahead. Oh, do we lose her? Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope you call back. We've got Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy. Nancy, are you there?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi. We booked a trip with National Geographic to the Galapagos, the trip of a lifetime. And the plane was supposed to take off from JFK on the day of the great blizzard. But this was something that we knew about so we could leave a day early and catch our flight as the airport was emptying out. But our trip insurance was only for trip cancellation. So when we came back and said, look, if it had been canceled, you would have paid us 1.5 times what the fare was. This way, we left a day early, and you didn't have to pay that. They said, absolutely not. So for 6 months, I pursued this, and with the help of National Geographic, we were able to get our reimbursement only because Nat Geo intervened.
Wow, that is a fascinating story.
That is fascinating. I mean, I know that a lot of airlines are good about preemptively waiving change fees when they see a big storm coming to town. So they'll let you, you know, get out early or get out later. But that's very interesting that your travel insurance wanted the flight to be canceled or delayed before it would kick in, wasn't rewarding you for actually thinking on your toes and getting out ahead of it.
And it's a good
Bravo
question.
To National Geographic Adventures.
Yeah.
Saving you on that
and
one.
And it sounds like, Nancy and Amy, a good question to ask when you're signing up for the insurance, if there's an actual human being to talk to.
Absolutely. And that's definitely something that I'm going to look into as well, see if there are any special insurance policies that cover this sort of thing, because that's a fascinating dilemma.
Well, the delay would have meant
missing the cruise, absolutely.
The boat, and we would have missed the entire trip.
Well, thank you so much for raising this, Nancy.
Quick question, what do you think of Groupon and Living Social trips?
Groupon and Living Social trips, I am less familiar with them. I know them for, you know, sort of their discounts in cities, but I don't know specifically about their trips, but I will definitely look into them.
Thank you.
They're so cheap, they seem unbelievable, but I want to be sure that they go where they say they're going to go.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, bye-bye. Amy, let's talk about JetBlue doing these new seats that where you can lie down in them. Let's say you've got a long flight coast to coast or you're going to some other country. What's it like?
Well, so JetBlue has launched what they call their Mint Cabin, which is basically business class, but they're not going to call it business class because JetBlue is sort of the unstandard airline. So they have their Mint Cabins, which are launching on New York to L.A. routes and then New York to San Francisco routes, those transcontinental routes, which are really full of business travelers. So this is their business travel product. And the seats are amazing. They are lie flat. They are wider than any other domestic carrier flying that transcontinental route in business class. They have food from a hip New York restaurant. They offer you sort of a small plate selection. They have these great amenity kits, which change every couple of months. It's JetBlue, so it's fun and stylish, and it is about $800 less than you would pay for a business class ticket on another carrier. And it's definitely a comparable experience, except they don't have business class lounges in the airport, so you miss out on that experience. But basically, once you're in flight, you are having an incredible experience for a lot less.
Wow, and the seat cushions can be adjusted for firmness.
And I just sent a colleague to review this flight for me, and it's a really tough job, but somebody had to do it, and he came back raving about it. So,
and there's a sliding door you can shut?
They have, on some of them, they have a couple of, and you'll pay the same price for them, but they have a couple of, most of the seats are sort of set in rows of two, and then they have four seats in the front, which actually are sort of private seats all on their own, and you can close the door and have a really exclusive sort of private little cabin to yourself.
And there's an espresso machine?
An espresso machine, of course, as everybody needs a little coffee, a good coffee.
This is something. All right. Thank you so much. Judith Faith Middleton, welcome to the show with Amy Farley, the trip doctor for Travel and Leisure magazine. Go ahead, Judith.
Thank you very much. There's just one tip on passports that I've never seen anywhere. If your son or daughter is going on a high school trip or abroad or possibly doing a semester abroad, they always have a lot of information about the child have to get their passport. But what I've never seen is that the parents should be sure that they also have a current passport. Should something happen, an emergency overseas, you're not going to be able to get to your kid if you don't have a valid passport yourself.
That's a very good point. I think in general, it is always a good thing to have a current passport on hand. You never know if you are going to need to use it. And depending on where you live, it can take a while to get a passport processed. So, yeah, that's a great tip, especially if you're going to have a child abroad.
Thank you so much, Judith.
Thank you.
Hadn't thought to bring that up either, so that's terrific. 203-776-9677. We have Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello. I have a question regarding credit cards. I heard that some of the European countries are hesitant to use North American credit cards because they do not have that special chip that European credit cards have. Is this correct?
The chip and PIN card, yes. More American banks are issuing them, and basically it's a special sort of insert in your card. It's just a chip in your card, and there are a lot of places in Europe where you just sort of wave your card at a machine, type in your PIN number, and pay for your transaction that way. Most places will process the standard American credit card. However, you may find yourself in a bit of a pickle if you are, say, driving and you stop at an unmanned gas station to buy gas or an unmanned toll booth or something like that, and they only have a machine with chip and PIN facilities. So then you may be in a bind. It's worth talking to your bank to see if they have chip and PIN cards, because in the last 12 months or so, a lot of banks have been starting to issue them, so you may be able to get one.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. To get back to social media for a second, the way to stay on top of the breaking news, which might affect your trip, what do you recommend, Amy?
Well, Twitter is an excellent way to stay on top of breaking news. So I recommend, depending on what the situation is, obviously looking at big news sources like CNN and BBC and places like that, looking at their Twitter handles. But, if you are specifically concerned about a big storm that is affecting your area, you can look at, you know, the Weather Channel for updates. You can look at the at hashtags, which is a way of sort of aggregating tweets about a certain subject. Mm-hmm. You can look at hashtags for your local airport or for your airline. You can follow your airline's Twitter handle. That's a great way to get information about what is happening around you. We definitely saw this during Hurricane Sandy when there was, you know, a lot of information out there, but not, but also a lot of sort of questions about what was happening. If you followed, you know, the Amtrak Twitter handle, they were telling you exactly, you know, when Amtrak was canceled, when it was back up. Similarly, the governor's office for New York and the mayor's office for New York, they were offering a lot of updates about sort of the state of affairs around New York. So especially in bad weather situations or political unrest and things like that, Twitter can be a really great resource to keep track of news that is changing really quickly around you.
When is the time that an airline can bump you unexpectedly? You've got your ticket, you're good to go, you've done everything you're supposed to do. How and when do they bump you?
The airlines will, I mean, airlines are flying, you know, very close to full capacity these days. But airlines also want to make sure that they get as many people onto the flights as possible. So often they will, what's called oversell a flight. Mm-hmm. And if everybody shows up for that flight, then it's kind of, you know, first come, first serve. Unless you are an elite flyer, then you could show up at the last minute and they will let you on. But
Is there a penalty?
For the airline, if they bump you, absolutely. So basically what airlines will do is, if they're oversold on a flight, they will accommodate families, they will accommodate people with disabilities, they will accommodate people who will be really inconvenienced because of their itinerary, you know, if they're flying somewhere and will, say, miss their cruise departure or will miss a connection or something like that, they will accommodate those people. But then the rest are subject to being bumped. But first they will look for volunteers. So this is that moment when airlines say, you know, we'll offer a $200 travel voucher for anybody that's willing to give up their seat and take the next flight. My advice is to hold out for a good amount of money from that airline, because they will try to get you to you know, sell out as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But if they bump you, if nobody volunteers to give up their seats and they have to bump you, then you are you have a right to a very good compensation from the airline, which could be up to $1,300 if you are, I believe, if you are delayed by over 4 hours to your final destination. I believe that's correct. You are allotted up to $1,300 of compensation. So don't give up that seat for, you know, just a couple $100. Wait for the big bucks to come your way.
What happens if you're doing a connection and they cancel the connection? Do you get compensated for that?
If they cancel the connection and it's their own fault, mm-hmm. then you do have some rights. But if it's a weather cancellation or anything like that, no, you are not allotted any compensation.
Okay. Yeah. Have we got Nancy on there? Yes. Thanks, Nancy. 203-776-WNPR. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi. I was calling because I'm interested in TripAdvisor, which I've been using lately when I've been booking trips. I check out what the reviews of fellow travelers are for various hotels and places to visit. And mm-hmm. I found it very helpful, and I've become a reviewer myself.
Great.
And I found that actually when I wrote a review, I've been writing quite a few reviews of hotels, and one hotel in Naples, when I arrived, they had upgraded me to a very luxurious suite, and I don't know whether it was because they knew about TripAdvisor or whether they keep track of that. I'm not on Twitter very much, but I was wondering what the thought was on that.
I mean, there's no way of saying for sure unless you call that hotel to ask, but I would not be surprised if that was based on your activity on TripAdvisor. Hotels really watch what's happening on TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor is a powerful force in the travel industry, and those reviews are very important to hotels. So if you are active on TripAdvisor and they see that, I wouldn't be surprised also if they offer you free perks.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 203-776-9677. Monica, go ahead. We have the Trip Doctor Amy Farley of Travel and Leisure magazine on the show.
Yes, thank you. I have scheduled with a group a trip to the Holy Land starting October 31st, and I was wondering what your guest feels about that. Of course, my family's very trying to talk me out of it, but I am going with a group, and I have to have some, you know, fairly substantial money September 15th. Any advice on that?
If I knew what was happening there, I would be working for the State Department. However, I will say that that if you're booking with a travel company or a travel advisor, you should get in touch with them, and they can obviously walk you through the places that you're visiting and the risks associated with it. I think that if there is a State Department warning out, or there are definitely advisories at least, that's something you should take into consideration. So if you go to travel.state.gov, they will offer you, you can look up the country that you're traveling to, and they will offer you detailed information about any advisories associated with it. So they can tell you exactly sort of places that are more risky than others, so that's worth looking into. But I would definitely get in touch with your travel operator or your travel advisor, because they will have feet on the ground and eyes and ears on the ground who can offer a lot of insights. Obviously, they don't want to bring anybody to a place where they may be uncomfortable or unsafe. So I would definitely look into that.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Amy, there are sites that build a reputation on finding the cheapest deal for you. You know, I was thinking of one like Cheapo Airlines, and it's not that they have a special airline themselves, but they find these seats on various standard airlines. For me, the trouble is trying to figure out among all those companies which ones are reliable and which ones aren't. Do you have a formula for that?
You know, there are some companies airfare consolidators, or they offer what's called consolidator fares, which may be a little less reliable than sort of the big players. Cheapo Air I would count as a bigger player, so
yeah.
It's a site that I trust. But I generally stick with the ones, you know, the bigger ones with strong reputations, Orbitz, Expedia, Travelocity. I happen to love Kayak, which is an aggregator, so that will aggregate fees from a lot of different sources. And then there's also some interesting ones like Hipmunk, which offer you great fares, Hipmunk and Route Happy, which offer you a great grid of fares and will sort them by not just the price, but also how good this route is for you, because they will factor in sort of the length of the layovers and how long the flights are and things like that. So I tend to stick with the bigger sites, the ones that we all know about. Some of the smaller ones, they may be perfectly fine, but sometimes the fares that they have may be actually too good to be true.
Mm-hmm. So was that Route Happy, you said?
Route Happy, yes.
Okay, and you like Kayak?
Love Kayak.
Yeah. Okay. And why do you love Kayak?
I just think it's a very intuitive design, and it is great to sort of sort by different priorities.
Do you use these sites yourself?
All the time. Yeah.
You do.
Absolutely. One site that is sort of an up and comer that's really great is Adioso. Adioso. And that's a really interesting airfare search, because you can basically search with really broad parameters. You can say, I want to go from, you know, New York City area to Europe sometime in March. And it will come back with all sorts of fares to Europe. And you can actually pinpoint when it's most affordable to go to Europe and where it's most affordable to fly to.
Wow.
So there's also a new sort of functionality to Google called Google Flight Explorer, which does similar things. There's a lot of interesting ways you can search for airfares rather than I'm going from A to B at this time.
Well, if you want to hear this show again, of course, go to WNPR.org. If you miss something, you can listen again. You can see a lot of the links we're talking about and the link to the Trip Doctor, Amy Farley of Travel and Leisure Magazine, back with us again, and always a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Amy.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
As always, this show's about the richness of life. You can find the books, people, great recipes, value wine, and cocktails that we feed. feature right now at WNPR.org or Fuchmoos.org. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.